And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which, of course, are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to thank you for taking time out of what I'm sure are your busy schedules to join us for today's podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. We've had a great week thus far, and we hope it continues today. Our theme throughout the week has been the treasure that truly satisfies. And I think all of us would agree that that treasure is Christ himself. And no one satisfies so fully and completely as he does. Indeed, Paul said that we have this treasure, and it's found in our earthen vessels, and it is Christ. And today, we'll break that down and talk about how important it is to delight in obedience and the subject of stewardship. And that's an interesting theme to consider together with you, and we hope that you'll participate. The comment section is available to those of you that are tuning in and listening live on the internet. We hope that you will weigh in, share your thoughts with us. If you have questions, pose those questions there as well. And we'll do our best to take a look at those comments and questions as they come into our studio today. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio once again, Pastor Bob Colbin will be your hosts for today's Grace Hour podcast. And Pastor Bob, this is an interesting theme, and I just want to focus for a moment on the subject of stewardship. And I asked myself, what does it mean to be a steward? And it kind of implies that we're taking care of something that belongs to someone else. Mm-hmm. We're like a manager, an overseer. In some cases, it might be someone's property or perhaps someone's finances. But in this case, in the case of the believer, it's what God has entrusted with us in this life, mm-hmm. which is really amazing to think that God would entrust us with anything.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, being a trustee here at the church, you know, it's something that, you know, there's really two aspects to it that I was thinking about. One is the way it's, you know, Jesus used it a lot in parables talking about stewardship or stewards. And it's exactly the way you described it, Pastor Love. It's like a man owns a piece of property and he needs someone who he can trust and entrust, or the word, that's where the word, I think, trustee, that idea comes from. But, you know, and this man who he entrusts is the steward. And, you know, there's no ownership implied. It's, I am a man who's been entrusted to take care of somebody else's goods.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's, there was a portion I was thinking about, that I think defines it in Chronicles. Let's see if I can find it here. It's in, First Chronicles chapter 29. It's really towards the end of David's life. And I've spoke about this in relation to the offering, but I think it has really does define stewardship. And in this chapter, David is, you know, he has learned from God that he's not going to build the temple, but while he's still the king and still has that authority, he is putting aside goods for the eventual building of the temple, which would be done by Solomon. So this is a great chapter to show the heart of giving, but also it shows, that David understood the main truth of stewardship is that everything that he gives, he only has because God has given it to him. Mm. And you could say God's ownership of everything. And, you know, he kind of talks in this chapter. He says, like, I have set my heart, like the reason I'm giving is because I have set my affections, you know, upon the things of God, that people gave willingly. But then in verse 14, so this is 1 Chronicles 29:14, he says this, but who am I and what are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? So he's saying like the elders are giving, he's giving. And then he says this, for all things come of thee, speaking of God, and of thine own have we given to thee. Mm. This is a guy that understood the idea of stewardship, you know, and even as a king, accumulated much wealth, had much land, had power, authority. But the reality was he realized that he was a steward of all that God has given him. And so when he gives, in this case, it's about giving to the temple, he realizes that, God, like, I only have the ability to give because of what you've given to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
And really, that's the whole, that's really the whole idea of, and then he says, I think it's the next verse, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers," meaning like, you know, we're not permanent residents here. We're not we have no ownership here. We're just passing through. And in our time here, God says, be good stewards of all that you have. You know? And again, this is applying to maybe material goods and so on, but it goes so far beyond that. Being stewards of the family that God has given us, being stewards, you know, if we have, our occupation, being good stewards, you know, like doing it all unto the Lord. And recognizing that, you know, if I, you know, as a builder, as a carpenter, if I at the end of the day, I say, man, like wow, I just built that table, it's awesome. Realizing that the only reason I have the ability to build that table is because God gave that to me. Mm. So I'm a steward of maybe a talent or a gift, or you could speak behind a microphone. Well, you know, we would all say, By the grace of God, we can, you know, to expound upon the scriptures is a miracle, you know?
Yeah.
And it's only because God has given us that ability. And so I love that. That's the idea of stewardship. Like, whatever, it's not just managing someone's property, which is the definition. If you go to Webster's Dictionary, that's what you're going to read. But we realize that in the kingdom, everything is God's.
Yeah.
And everything that we have. And if I was a ball player, I'd say, man, my ability to hit a baseball is because of God gave me that ability. And I have been a good steward of it. You know, so it's like, you know, I don't know if it's a good analogy, but God gives someone a talent, and then what do they do with that talent? I could have the ability or the talent God given to hit a baseball, but that's good at Little League. You know, maybe that's good at high school ball, but if I'm going to really use what God has given me, then I want to be a good steward of that and use it to the glory of God and to the best of my potential that God has given me.
Yeah. And as you said that, I couldn't help but think what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, when he said, you know, who makes you to differ from anyone else? And what do you have that you haven't received?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
It all comes from God.
Yeah.
And when you think of, let's say, giving, let's talk about giving for a moment, like finances. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that we could just kind of stop, contemplate, think about it. Okay, how much should I give? How much do I want to give? How much am I obligated to give? When in reality, what we should be saying is, I can't believe that I even have an opportunity to give.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even have that opportunity if God had not entrusted me with what I mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all comes from God.
Yeah.
It should almost be this natural expression of giving back that which God has so freely mm-hmm. given to me.
It should be, really our thinking should be, you know, I can't believe God allows me to keep this much.
Yes. There you go.
You know?
Yes.
Rather than, you know, thinking about how much we are parting with. But God, you allow me to keep all of this? This is amazing. You know,
yeah.
One of the best offering things, and again, we're not talking about the offering, but I think it has an application.
Stewardship, no question.
You know, somebody, I think it was a Pastor Lioness said one time, because it really rung, like, you know, the church that I was raised in as a kid, there was two offerings during the service, you know, and they'd have these long poles with the baskets on them. And I can remember being a little kid, and this is what Lioness said, it reminded me of this. So there I am, you know, I'm 7, 8 years old, and so my mother would give me a nickel or a dime or whatever it might be. And if there's two, maybe like a nickel for each one. And I remember that basket coming down so excited to put that, and I never really considered keeping it. Like in a sense, my mother gave it to me, so it was easy to give.
Wow.
And I think the principle there is God gives it to us, so why is it difficult for us to give? You know, because it's the same thing. My mother gives it to me. I don't look at it and say, well, I think I'll take a penny of this or break it in half or something. It was so easy to give because I realized this is my mother's money and I'm just putting it in the basket.
Wow.
And I love that. I love that illustration that he used because it reminds me of my childhood. And it rings so true. you know, anything, what David does here in this chapter for the temple, you know, he has that understanding. And I'm sure it's great wealth and great amount of money and so on, not a nickel. But yet, like, we are sojourners, Lord. Like, we are just passing through. And we want to, and the stewardship is, what do we do with what we have while we have it? Yes. Right? I think that's another way to look at it.
Yes.
And even, you know, Pastor Love, you're an elder in the church, and I'm an elder here, and we are elders for a season. Like, we are stewards or placeholders, or, you know, there's different ways to describe it, but greater grace existed, say, our church existed before we were elders, mm-hmm. while we were elders, and by the grace of God, it will continue to exist when we're no longer elders. So mm-hmm. what are we? We are stewards.
That's it.
Of this ministry, you know, we play a part in it, but also we are also sojourners. So we're not owners of this ministry.
That's
it's
right.
not ours.
Yeah.
Gosh, if it was ours, it would have dissolved years ago. You know, I think as what is it? We're in Acts where Gamaliel said, "If this be of men, it will disappear. But if it be of God, you can't resist it." You
That's
know?
Right.
And so we are stewards of something that God has given us. And you know, we are just placeholders for a season, and we want to do the best that we can during that season with all that God has given us, and then turn it over to someone else, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's implied in stewardship also, that at some point it'll be turned over to someone else, whether it's a next generation or the next group of people or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And isn't it true that you could take these talents, these gifts, these abilities, these resources, and you could hijack them
mm-hmm.
and use them for yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for your own glory.
Yeah.
I'm sure that this has happened. So often we hear of people that have become, in the world's perspective, famous. Maybe they were entertainers or they were singers. And so often you hear their testimonies. Well, where did you start singing? In a church.
Yeah.
In other words, they were saying, God gave me that, and I was using it to glorify him. And then somebody said, you know what? You could become famous. You could make money. You could, you know, become renowned if you just, you know, stepped away from this capacity in the church and used it for yourself.
Yeah.
And you can hijack some of God's resources, mm-hmm. his gifts and his talents.
Yeah.
You know, look, we can shift for a moment from finances. Paul, so often in his epistles, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, he said that God entrusted me with the gospel to bring it to the Gentiles.
Mm.
I mean, that's his way of saying, I'm just a steward of the gospel.
Yeah.
Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, God has entrusted me with the gospel. And we could say that every believer has been entrusted with the gospel to proclaim it, to share it, mm-hmm. to preach it, under any circumstances and under any conditions. And Paul said, yeah, I'm just a steward of the gospel message. And I mean, he's not here today, but he was such a good steward of the gospel that we still have his letters with us today.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
God entrusted him with that, and he was faithful. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. If you're a steward, there's only one condition, that you would be found faithful.
Wow, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that, because I was there's another scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, and it was interesting because it says, if you have heard, Paul, I'll read verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the Gentiles. So he's talking about him being given something from God for the Gentiles. And then he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me towards you. And it's funny, that word dispensation is the same word in the Greek for stewardship.
Wow.
So it's the same, the verses that you brought up, and here he's saying, you know, that same idea that he has been given. And I love this idea, like, and then he talks the next few verses about, you know, this mystery that God has given him, which is the mystery of the church being for all people, not just for the Gentiles, not just for the Jews, you know.
Right.
And so this idea of stewardship, like you said, goes beyond physical talents. It goes beyond land, money, you know, corporate world, all these types of things where it has an application. But I think here, this is for us as believers, like stewardship of the gospel. And what does that mean? You know, to proclaim it which is what the purpose of the church is. You know, one of the primary purposes of the church is proclaiming the gospel and being good stewards of this message. And I love that's, you know, kind of what Paul's saying here, that this stewardship that's been given me, I am, you know, and really you read Paul's life, you know, so many verses that where he talks about his life and the price that he paid for stewardship, you know. Yeah.
I like that. And we could take this stewardship and go in so many different directions. The Apostle Peter does that in 1 Peter 4:10. And he reminds us that as every man, and I love that word every mm-hmm. one of us has received a gift. Some people received multiple gifts. Mm-hmm. But he goes on and he says, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Wow. Yeah.
So here we are now talking about becoming stewards of grace.
Yeah.
And of course, it begs that we ask ourselves the question, what kind of a steward am I in relationship to grace? In other words, we've been given grace freely, mm-hmm. In an abundant fashion from God. How are we distributing it to others? Can he trust us with that grace? Mm-hmm. It's so easy, isn't it? I mean, just practically speaking, I know that when I fail before God, I come before him, I confess my failure, and he gives me more grace. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, someone may come to me and say, well, you know, I'm sorry I said that. And it's like, and my natural inclination is to withhold grace from them. And I can do that so simply and so easily by just simply saying, well, God, they don't deserve it. And I can just imagine God rolling his eyes and saying, oh, they don't deserve it. Yes, they don't deserve it. Well, do you think you did? And it's like, no. And it's just, I mean, we have to ask ourselves, are we gracious mm-hmm. people? Are we good stewards wow. of the manifold grace of God? Do we distribute it as freely as God has so freely given it to us? Good question.
Yeah, it is a good question, yeah. And, you know, the world doesn't distribute grace. You know, the world distributes, you know, punishment, a rebuke. You know, you mentioned it last night, you know, that crossed arms kind of, I don't know if people see, you know, that idea of somebody, you know, comes to you or you go to maybe to give grace to somebody. You know, the world has this, you know, that, like you said, don't deserve it. You know, so if it doesn't come from us, how is it going to be revealed to people? And we as the stewards, like, because this is not grace is not natural. Grace is supernatural.
Yes.
And, you know, I once read I forget where it was, but a definition of grace, you know, in the Greek. And many scholars have, you know, looked into that and have, you know, but this was interesting because the scholar said that in the Greek language, they had a definition for grace. But it only applied to people that you cared about. Meaning like it was a word that they had, but there was not an application of that word to people that have done you wrong or people that are unworthy like you. And I thought it was fascinating. Like, so the Greek culture had a word like for, you know, but it was only directed towards people that were good or worthy, like we were talking about before. Mm. So like, you're worthy of grace, so I will give you grace. That's what it meant in the Greek. But the in Christianity, it's like you're unworthy of grace. But that's why it's called grace, really. And so I always thought that was fascinating, that grace is for everybody.
That's right.
And it's so for us to withhold it, like it's like the steward, like the guy, was it with the one talent? You know, so God says, hey, Bob, I've given you all this grace. Okay, I'm going to take it. I'm going to bury it in my backyard, and I'm not going to give it to anybody, which is what the guy with the one talent did. The other ones, they received grace even more so because they needed it, and they just freely invested it in others, you know. And that's the mission of the church and us as individual believers, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, to withhold it, Like that, that goes against the whole definition of stewardship, because that's not being a faithful steward with what God has given us, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You withhold grace, then you frustrate the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And that's when that happens, that is, it's very sad to see that happening because, you know, we could either be stone throwers or grace givers, mm-hmm. right? We think of the woman caught in the act of adultery. Mm-hmm. Everybody showed up with stones in hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they wanted to see justice executed. And yet Jesus is already thinking mercy is going to rejoice against judgment.
Yeah.
James 2:13.
Yeah.
And that's what ultimately happened. But I don't know. There's something about our old natures that thinks, no, we must extract justice from this situation or from this person. Mm-hmm. But that flies in the face of grace. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best examples I've ever heard was a true story that happened, you know, many, many decades ago. But apparently there was a time when people had somehow they had access into Buckingham Palace. And one time a thief broke into Buckingham Palace. And they used to keep the crown jewels in Buckingham Palace at one time. They don't any longer. But he broke in. His intention was to steal the crown jewels. Well, he did get to them, but he got caught. Mm-hmm. And as he was taken by soldiers and being brought to jail, he was being brought down one of the corridors of Buckingham Palace. And he noticed walking down one of the other corridors was the queen herself. And he cried out. And he begged for an audience. And on this particular occasion, the queen granted him that opportunity. And he came before the queen and he got down on his knees and she said, what is it that you want to ask? And he says, I want to ask you for grace. And she listened to him and then she said, all right, I will grant you this grace if you promise that you will never steal again. And immediately he lifted up his face, looked at the queen and said, Your Majesty, that is not grace.
Mm, wow.
You see, grace is not given to those who promise that their failure will never happen mm-hmm. again. It's not given to those that say, God, if you get me through this mess, I promise I'll never, and then fill in the blank. Grace is given only to the undeserving. Mm. I mean, that's its first and foremost condition in life. It can only, because that's where grace finds its utter triumph in the midst of complete human helplessness.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. I like that example. Yeah. You know, it's funny how I was thinking, you know, the thief on the cross that we talk about so often. And I don't know if you've heard the story. It was a message that Alistair Begg gave, and it's called The Man on the Middle Cross. And anybody that's listening, it's a 4 or 5 minute clip that you can find on YouTube. But it's interesting because so the thief on the cross, so the story he tells it, he kind of, you know, tells it better than I can, but the man goes to heaven and he is confronted there by an angel. And the angel says, well, you know, why do you deserve to, you know, obviously it's a made up story. You know, why do you deserve to come into heaven? This is the thief on the cross. And he says, I don't know. And the guy says, well, you know, when were you baptized? And he says, I haven't been baptized. Or, you know, when did you pray the prayer? Or, you know, I've never prayed the prayer. I don't even know what it is, you know. Well, what, you know, have you ever been to, you know, this? And just ask all these questions. The guy goes, I've never done any of that. And then the angel goes, okay, I got to get the supervisor angel to come, you know. And I love this just because it, and then he comes and the supervisor angel says, you know, like, have you done this? And, you know, so do you know the doctrine of justification? Have you ever heard that? And the guy goes, I don't know what you're talking about. So they're finally in their frustration. So why are you here? What makes you think you could come here? And you know what his answer was? All I know is the man on the middle cross said that I could come.
Wow.
And I love that story mm-hmm. because that's grace.
Yeah.
The man on the middle cross said it's okay. And there it is, you know, freely given, you know, didn't do any of the things that might be people would say, well, you know, like all these questions that the angels were supposedly asking, you know. But really the only reason is because the man on the middle cross said I could come. And that's grace, you know, that's you know, forgiveness, that's mercy. It's undeserved, but yet it always is undeserved. Yeah.
And we have this great responsibility to become good stewards
yeah.
of the manifold grace of God.
Yeah.
And then we could take that into another direction. And what about mercy? Are we good stewards of the mercy of God? Because the glory of mercy is that it celebrates against judgment. Judgment, again, the natural inclination. I mean, we live in a world today where people are crying out for justice. It's everywhere. Everybody wants justice. But if God would speak, he would say, let's talk about mercy. Because mercy is what people really need. Because justice, if you get it or if you want it and you think you've got it, it might not even be enough. There might be even more justice that you're looking for. In other words, justice almost never seems to end. But mercy provides a celebration.
Yeah.
Mercy is an expression of God's great forgiveness and love towards the sinner. And boy, when mercy rejoices against judgment, there's something glorious about that. There's something wonderful about looking at people not getting what they deserve, but getting exactly what they don't deserve.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, and what does that do to your heart when you're the recipient of this grace, this kind of mercy? It changes you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can't receive these gifts from God without them impacting your heart and the way you live.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we see that where we started in the Apostle Paul. You know, he, you know, because of his background, I mean, not just his religious background, but because of his background in persecuting the church and wreaking havoc in the church. And, you know, there was no, like for him, it was, I don't know even what the right word is, but it's, you know, there was nothing that was going to keep him from sharing, preaching, teaching, and giving that manifold grace of God, you know.
Yeah.
And I think his background had a lot, you know, he who is forgiven much loves much. You could say he who is forgiven much gives mercy. He who has forgiven much gives grace, you know. And I think, I don't want to say drove him, but that was what was in his heart, you know, when he talked about being a steward of the manifold grace of God.
Yeah. I mean, his testimony was, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And I think all of us would love to have that same kind of testimony.
Yeah.
That the grace of God would be what the results of our lives look like. Got some great comments coming in. Stephen writes, he says, grace. And then he says, grace is the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and the source of all the benefits men receive from him. And that's from
the dictionary.
Webster's dictionary. Yeah. Noah Webster wrote those words.
I like that. Yeah.
He nailed it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Aretha says, amen and amen. We are to be and called to be faithful in the work of the Lord and to be good stewards of what he's entrusted us with. And then Stephen chimed in again and said, amen, the man on the middle cross.
Said so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. I mean, it's probably the greatest example in the Bible that goes against so many religious concepts that are out there. You know, like how do you, what's a good way to say it? Like this guy and his, you know, all Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. There's nothing about him. He didn't do it, you know, like every religion could look at him and say, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do this, just like the example. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. You didn't go through this. And he goes against that one example, which is a true example, a real person. It goes against everything that religion teaches, society teaches about God, you know.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the greatest examples of the unmerited favor that we receive undeserved just by his confession.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And I can't help but think of all of those seven sayings that the thief on the cross heard Jesus speak. The one that probably touched him in the deepest way were these words, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I just in my heart, I think, and he might have thought, you know, is that kind of forgiveness available for someone like me? I mean, I'm being punished for the crimes I committed. And then, of course, you know, in a similar story, when the thief on the cross enters the heaven, well, you know, he's greeted by whoever, an angel or Peter. You know, how'd you get here? And he said, well, I read the sign. What sign? the sign that was above his cross that said, King of the Jews. Mm. And then the angel said, well, who wrote the sign? I don't know who wrote the sign. Come to find out, Pontius Pilate wrote the sign. You could almost say that Pontius Pilate was responsible for writing the first gospel tract ever written. So he says, well, how did you know he was a king? Well, I figured if he was a king, he must have a kingdom. So I asked him if I could be a part of that kingdom.
Wow. Yeah.
And here I am. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it was pure, unadulterated grace that made that happen.
Yeah.
No works, no opportunity to be baptized. Didn't have a chance to speak in other tongues. No good works, no possibility of any good works.
Yeah.
Just faith alone. Isn't that how we found our justification mm-hmm. before God?
Yeah.
Isn't that how anyone who has a relationship with God has come to that mm-hmm. understanding? By faith. Mm-hmm. And that's just so important, because this is being overlooked today in our culture and in our world. Even when in some instances where the so-called gospel is being preached, it's really not. It's a gospel of human effort. Mm-hmm. It's a gospel of human merit. It's not a gospel called grace.
Yeah.
And that's the message that the world needs to hear today.
And really, as Paul said, and I think it's in the beginning of Galatians, there is no other gospel. And so for us, as going back to stewardship, you know, what has God given us? He's given us this message. And, you know, and it's not, you know, it's funny, like going out on evangelism, you know, and we have evangelism here corporately, you know, on Saturday mornings. And one of the things that hit me one time is there's no other message that would get me up on a Saturday morning, leave my nice warm house, my coffee, my bagel, whatever I got, you know, whatever your Saturday morning routine is. What kind of message would it take to get us out of the house, go out on the streets in all kinds of weather and preach? And it's this message. There only is one message. This is it. And this is the only message that would ever motivate me to go out and talk to someone who's a stranger on the street, because I know what I'm offering him. And I'm offering him this amazing message about the grace of God. Now, you know, if our message was 10 steps or 3 steps or 1 step, I'm not getting up on a Saturday morning. That doesn't motivate me to go out and tell someone this is what you have to do in order to be worthy, you know. So this message, as believers, this message to be a good steward, and it doesn't have to be on a Saturday morning, but it should be something that's kind of bubbling in our hearts. Like we have them, you know, if we had the cure for cancer, we wouldn't keep it inside. We'd be shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes.
You know, the cure for cancer, here it is.
Yeah.
Well, we have the cure for sin, for heartbreak, for, you know, devastation, people's lives being destroyed, being ruined by sin or whatever the situation is, disease, sickness, death. What is the answer to that? It's the grace of God.
Amen.
And that's the only thing. I think I think it was Spurgeon that wrote in his book on soul winning that is the balm that cures all ill.
It's true.
I like that. It's the balm. It's the ointment. If you want, you know, that was his analogy. It's the ointment that doesn't matter what the disease is, doesn't matter what the condition is, but it heals it all.
Amen.
And that's the message we take to the street as stewards of the gospel. That's the message that comes from our pulpit last night, and the message that you preached. The grace of God is presented to the body of Christ, and then online, everybody that tunes in, they hear the same sound and then have an opportunity to respond to that message. Mm. And that's what it means to be a steward, I think, is God's given us this.
Yeah.
Paul said it. You know, we say it. We should all say it as believers, like, I can't keep this to myself.
Yeah.
It's like I can't bury this, because that would be, you know, I forget how Jesus rebuked him. You know, I forget exactly what he said to the man who buried his talent. But the idea being, look at what you have. Share it with others.
Yeah.
Be a good steward of it.
Yeah. And as you were sharing that, I'm just thinking, what's our motivation to share this glorious message with others? It's the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the constraining, motivating force within our souls.
Yeah.
I think of what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9. He said, And he kind of reminds us of who we are, which is a great starting point. He said, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow. When you know that God has called you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light, given you a place at his table, mm-hmm. given you a seat in his kingdom, made you his child, adopted you, took you into the family, forgave you of all of your sins, removed your past, and gives you the prospect of a blessed future.
Yeah.
That's motivating. Mm-hmm. That makes you want to tell people about how good God is and about how gracious God is. And I can't think of a more motivating force. It used to be the way when we would get on a bus and go soul winning with our young people. I would often ask myself, why are you doing this? Because I always wanted to make sure that my motives were right in the mm-hmm. sight of God. Mm-hmm. Was I doing it because it was my job, or it was my obligation, it was my duty, or was I being properly motivated? Did I realize that there were lost souls out there, and they were in the darkness? They were the darkness, and God has a message for them. And he entrusted us with that message. Mm-hmm. Will you bring it? Will you take that step of faith? Will you step out of your comfort zone? Mm-hmm. To do such a thing? And of course the answer is yes, Lord.
Yeah.
You did so much for me through the salvation that I have and the glorious position that I now enjoy. I owe it to them. Paul said that. He said, I owe people the gospel. Mm-hmm. He sensed the constraining.
You say
power.
He was a debter.
He said he was a debter.
Interesting.
To all
yeah.
men.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm a debtor, I'm ready, and as much as is in me, I'm going to proclaim this mm-hmm. glorious message. Mm-hmm. Well, final thoughts as we wrap up today's Grace Hour podcast.
We didn't get to obedience at all, but that's okay. I'd rather talk about grace anyway.
I know. Well, isn't it the obedience of faith? And it's the grace of God that has imparted that faith to our hearts. And I think obedience is, it's part of it. We've submitted ourselves to God, mm-hmm. and that's why and where obedience comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this, you know, this is a topic that every message should be laced with the grace of God. Every message.
Amen.
Conversation should be laced with the grace of God, you know, because this is what people need to hear.
Yes.
Because the other message, the other side of it, the unworthiness, the condemnation, it's out there.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, you know, I did not come to condemn the world, but the world already is condemned because their deeds were evil, you know. So what is the message that's going to stand out as this is what we're talking about? It's the manifold grace of God, unmerited, that is a different sound. To us, it's a certain sound, but to the world, it's a brand new sound. But it speaks in contrast to the message of the world, which is worthiness, you know.
Yeah. And as long as we just keep inhaling the grace of God, inevitably we'll exhale it.
Yeah.
We'll give it out to others.
Amen.
Pastor Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
It's great to have you here in the studio with us once again. And friends, thank you for taking the time out of your schedules to join us. Thank you, folks, for listening today. Thanks for all the wonderful comments. We really deeply appreciate it. And we hope that you'll tune in tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hours. They'll wrap up this week's theme, The Treasure That Truly Satisfies. And as we mentioned today, that's Christ himself and his amazing grace. Have a great day, friends, and thanks for joining us. May God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.